So here we are in the third week of the coronavirus, and I'm making my very first video of a sermon. So I hope you'll have patience as we explore this passage found in Luke. I guess really the only difference we see is in the sense that we're not coming together formally, corporately, to worship as a church. But the sermon is the same in the sense we're gathering together. We're here to learn more about Christ, and resulting, hopefully, that we will be able to praise Him more, worship Him more, and our faith will be strengthened. So please get ready this morning as we're going to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. So if you'd open your Bible to Luke chapter 17, also it might help if you have a map of Palestine at the time of Jesus. That could be good, because what we do is we see Jesus is traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee, headed south towards Israel, Jerusalem. And this border divides the Jews and the Samaritans. It is also where three territories come together. Galilee is controlled by Antipas. Samaria, controlled by the Roman procurator, and Decapolis by the Syrians. This is an area that was known for religious and political unrest. It was an area not considered all that safe. It is here where Jesus then crosses racial, religious, and political boundaries to heal lepers. As some of you are aware, I enjoy movies. My favorite kind of movie are those that have unexpected twists and unexpected endings. We have all seen enough movies that we often can know the typical storyline and how it's going to progress towards the usual and predictable conclusion. However, when a movie turns from the predictable and falls an unexpected plot path and has an unexpected ending, and it's a good story, well then, that's a movie I think that's worth watching. I can name several, but that's not really what this morning is all about. But there is some similarities. In this morning's scripture passage, like a good movie, we have a text that leads people to some wrong assumptions and has some twists in it. Luke writes this account in such a way as to leave his readers at certain stop points where they can make assumptions, and many of those will be wrong conclusions. His purposeful vagueness at certain points in the story lead one to these wrong assumptions. And he uses these wrong assumptions to pull people into the story, his readers into the story. And here, 2,000 years later, he's doing the same thing with us. And we're going to see some amazing things about Jesus. As always, our purpose for being in God's Word is to impact our hearts, our minds, our souls, and to change us and strengthen our faith. Here is an account of 10 lepers who are all healed. 10 are cleansed physically, but one is saved. He is healed spiritually as well. The one who is converted returns to Jesus and gives thanks to God. There's a connection between this short story in Luke 17 and the three parables found in Luke chapter 15. And I think Luke has a purpose in setting this story where he does in his gospel account, because he wants to show us theologically just how far the distance Jesus will travel and is willing to go to save sinners. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1:15, he said, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." So Jesus came to bring salvation to the world, to sinners from every tribe, tongue, and nation, not just Jews. So as we begin to look at this passage, let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask as we study this inspired passage that you have given us, as we look at it, we will see more of Christ. We will see more of who we are in Christ, and our faith will be strengthened, and we will be able to lead more faithful lives, glorifying Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So let me begin by reading Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?' And Jesus said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So my desire as we dig into this passage is that God the Father will reveal more to us of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we will have even a deeper understanding and love for him. In verse 11, we learn that Jesus was traveling between Samaria and Galilee, which was not unusual practice for many Jews. This way, they could go around Samaria and not enter and be defiled by the Samaritans. Many Jews took this longer route so not only they would not be defiled, but in general, Jews had a hatred for Samaritans. However, Jesus has a different purpose. Jesus always had a purpose to what he does. And so he takes this for totally different reasons. Remember back in Luke chapter 9, Jesus was at that time in Samaria as well. It says, "When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he had set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, the Samaritans didn't like this because they had their own temple where they worshiped their God. They believed the same God, and it was not in Jerusalem. So Jesus sent messengers ahead of him into the village, and when they entered the village of the Samaritans, they went there to make preparations for Christ. In verse 53, it says, "But the people did not receive him because he had set his face towards Jerusalem." And when his disciples James and John saw how these Samaritans had reacted, they said to Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and he rebuked James and John, and then they went on to another village. So here we learn a couple things. Jesus had no racial problems or no hatred of the Samaritans. Even though there was hatred by the Samaritans against the Jews and the Jews against the Samaritans, who they considered half-breeds, Jesus loves all of God's creation. However, the other thing we learn, James and John, as being Jews and being raised as Jews, were filled with racial and religious prejudice against the Samaritans. It is typical of the fallen and sinful world we live in and the sinful nature of man that we want to elevate ourselves by putting someone else down. We put down other people or other races or groups of people. So in our passage this morning, Jesus moves with compassion and mercy towards 10 lepers, of which at least one was a Samaritan. However, that's getting ahead of myself. Let's worry about what we're reading as we read it. Returning to Luke's story in verses 12 to 14, it says, "And as Jesus entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. So if we stop here, one would assume that these lepers were Jewish and headed to the synagogue to find a priest. However, we find out later that at least one leper was a Samaritan, and maybe possibly more. Here we observe Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, going to what Jews considered to be the lowest social order, Samaritans. In our last message that we, in Luke, we studied and we examined what was called the unprofitable slaves. But here, these lepers are even lower than that. Jesus often broke man-made boundaries to express God the Father's love for all humans. Not only are some of these people hated Samaritans, but they're lepers. In chapter 5 of Luke, Jesus heals a leper, and we learn a little of how horrible this disease is. Many people don't realize that in some third world countries, leprosy still exists, and it is very contagious. More detail on this disease can be learned from some of the Old Testament books, like Leviticus and Numbers. Also, through these books, we can learn about the laws that were set in place to deal with lepers. So let me share just some of these with you so you'll have a better understanding. Reading from Leviticus chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, in the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed two live clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop. And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean, shall let the living bird go out into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water, and he shall be cleaned. And after that, he may come into the camp, but he shall live outside his tent for 7 days, a final testing of his cleanliness. And then in verse 9 it says, on the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair on his head, his beard, and even his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. So in our story found in Luke, these lepers are abiding by the law. They're staying at a distance from other people so as not to infect them. And society wants nothing to do with lepers. They're outcasts, and they're contagious. And the other thing we need to realize that for both Jews and Samaritans, this disease had physical, social, and spiritual implications. They considered leprosy judgment of God for a person's sin. You might remember that Miriam in Numbers chapter 12 spoke against her brother Moses, and this angered the Lord, and she was made leprous. Likewise, God punished King Uzziah with leprosy in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 to 21. Sin and disease came into the world because of the fall of Adam, and all people then inherited the sin nature. So we clearly recognize some people like Miriam suffered directly because of their sin. However, others suffered not because of their personal sin, but because of collective sins of mankind, just like we're seeing with this coronavirus. Another interesting point is that Jesus tells the lepers, go and show yourself to the priests, just as Moses instructed. So why is this significant? Well, because when Moses said, show yourself to the priests, the people had been cleansed. But here, Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priests at the beginning of their journey while they still have leprosy. For them to head out to go see the priests is an act that requires some amount of faith. All 10 set out, but only one returns. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a man with leprosy by touching him. Here, Jesus heals from a distance, and this is a healing that requires faith because there's a process. They must begin a journey before they are cleansed. I can imagine the conversation among these 10 lepers may have been similar to the conversation between Naaman and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. It says, so Naaman came to with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And the prophet sent a messenger to Naaman, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry, and he went away, saying, behold, I thought this prophet would surely come out to me, stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure me of leprosy. And then he says, are not the two rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not have washed in them and been clean? So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants caught up to him and came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word this prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be cleaned? So Naaman went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This healing in Luke and the healing of Naaman are similar in many ways. So similar, in fact, I'm wondering if Luke is not making an important point here, tying back to the Old Testament that his readers would know. Luke is saying Jesus is the prophet. He is the prophet that all have been waiting for. He is the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus is the man of God, and if we do as he says, we will be healed. I also could see these lepers in Luke's account wondering why Jesus chose to heal them from a distance over a delayed period of time. They most likely had heard about Jesus healing the leper in earlier time, and he healed by just simply touching, and the healing was instant. But again, here, these 10 had to have some level of faith because they had to set out to see the priests while they were still leprous, and they were cleansed as they went. Luke's generalities up to this point would have led his readers make some wrong assumptions. We have the benefit of being able to read the scriptures in their entirety, but these people may have been hearing this story for the first time. One wrong assumption was that these lepers were all Jews and went to find a priest in the synagogue or Jerusalem. However, since at least one of these is told to us is a Samaritan, he would have been headed to his temple and his priest at Mount Gerizim. Amazingly, while they all were going their way, they were cleansed. However, this returning Samaritan was a cleansed leper, but he was also a healed leper, a saved leper. In verse 14, we have the common word for physical healing. They were cleansed. All 10 were cleansed of leprosy, but however, in verse 15, we're introduced to a verb in the Greek language that is here translated as the word healed. And this word implies more than a physical healing. This word implies a more supernatural, holistic healing of both body and spirit. Another word to take notice of is as this leper went, it says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. When Luke records, he saw, this is a phrase that Luke often used through his gospel account for spiritual insight. So this leopard had his eyes open to who Jesus is. He now had eyes to see and ears to hear the call of Jesus, and his soul was open to Jesus' true identity as the Son of God. This is also fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We see another example of Jesus fulfilling Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61 in verses 1 to 3. Reading at verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord, and may be glorified." Here, for this leper, in the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him, as we see in verse 3 of Isaiah, and then as in verse 14 of Luke, it says, as God revealed Jesus as the Christ, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This Samaritan's life was changed forever when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and his life was now to be lived glorifying the Lord. This would be the very same for each of us. As we have come to believe in Jesus Christ, the main purpose of our lives then is to live in such a way that we glorify him. When one is saved by our Lord Jesus, we share a common purpose in life, a purpose that began in God's revelation of the Old Testament, found in Isaiah chapter 61. And then Jesus reaffirms this very statement in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Just like this Samaritan leper, we praise the Lord, share the gospel with everyone who will listen. I thought back to the Samaritan woman at the well and the woman in Luke chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. The woman said to Jesus, she said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus says to this woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Jesus is telling her that the day of worshiping God at the temple is ending. No more will a worshiper of God have to worship in the temple in order to meet God. Because of Jesus, we as believers worship God directly, for God's Spirit lives within us and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened to this Samaritan leper as he traveled to see the priests and go there. It says he saw with spiritual eyes, and it stopped, and he turned around, and he returned to Jesus not only because his skin was healed, but because his heart and his soul were healed as well. He was overwhelmed by Jesus' grace and mercy. And his response was, "Praise God," with a loud voice. And as he came back into the presence of Jesus, knowing that he was now the Messiah, the Son of God, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This non-Jew, this Samaritan, worshiped the Son of God, showing us that all of us who are Gentiles were able to come back into relationship with God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. Luke wants us to see The Samaritan praised God and worshiped God by falling on his face in front of God, Jesus Christ. This phrase was a common way of showing that the person who was falling on their face is overwhelmed by divine authority. Here, Jesus is worshiped and submitted to as Lord. He is called Master earlier, but now this Samaritan knows he is worshiping the Messiah. If Jesus wasn't God, it would have been idolatry for this Samaritan to worship him. He is God, so worshiping him was completely and totally appropriate. Jesus is thanked because he healed the man, but nine others were also healed or cleansed by faith. Jesus healed 10 as they went, and they were cleansed. But this one man, not a Jew, was received by Jesus and made a disciple, demonstrating that Jesus came for all the people of the world, but not all will respond. Now, as we go back to Luke chapter 17, reading verses 17 to 19, it says, Jesus answered the Samaritan. He said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." It would be hard to say with any surety, but most likely the lepers were a mixture of Jews and Samaritans. Luke's point is that miracles had been performed throughout Palestine by Jesus. And yet, for most of the Jews, they rejected Jesus. Gentiles, like the woman at the well and the Samaritan leper, came to Jesus by grace through faith. And this is a picture of Israel in general. Jews rejecting their long-awaited Messiah, and some Gentiles coming in faith. Jesus' words found in verse 18 really are stronger than it appears in the English language. When he says, "except this foreigner," it's kind of weak. It might be better if it read, "this one from another nation, not from Israel." Because that would communicate it in the stronger tone that I think the Greek is implying. Jesus did not look down upon the Samaritans as half-Jews, but they were representative of the Gentiles of the world that he came to save. Jesus commands the man. He says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is what he commands all believers. Jesus says to all believers, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Again, this verse might be a little more clear if it said, "As you go," or "as you live your life, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That's everything he's revealed in the Bible through the prophets and through the apostles. "And behold," Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." This healed leper was not a Jew, and neither are you or I. We're saved Gentiles brought into God's kingdom by Jesus' life, his death, and resurrection. Saving faith that he gives us results in the lives of believers as they're lived out as we go through life, that we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. So one of our primary things that we need to do as believers is read the Bible, get to know the Bible, learn the Bible, meditate on the Bible. So that will equip us then to share the Bible with all those people that God puts in our lives, because it's the Bible and the Word of God that has power. So looking at this passage, let's consider how this faith was in its actual operation. We know the Samaritan believed in Jesus, that Jesus was God, because he cries out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We know what kind of disease he had. We know it was terminal. It was contagious. We also know that only God at that point in time could cure leprosy. When Jesus, when he cried out to Jesus, he was crying out to God. The other proof that we have that this man believed that Jesus was divine is when he began praising God for the power in healing him, he headed straight back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and worshiped Jesus as God. I want to examine one more Greek word before I close. Jesus ends this passage as he says to this former leper, this Samaritan, he says, "Your faith has made you well." The word translated as well is a word in the Greek that means saved or delivered. This specific word is used 7 times in the New Testament, and every time it's used, it means that one is saved by faith and saved by faith in believing in Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Jesus sees this foreigner exercise saving faith in him and declares his faith has saved him. As far as application in our lives, we must consider what happened here and learn from it. First, we too must exercise saving faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone in order to be saved. As John the Apostle warned, we are not to add or take away anything from the Bible, for the Bible is the only inspired word of God. And secondly, Jesus healed all 10, he cleansed all 10, but only one came to saving faith. We are not to be like the 9 who did not come to faith, who prayed for help but did not praise God when they were cleansed. We need to thank for God for what he has done for us in our salvation. We should be at peace with God and not worried about what we don't have or the things we don't have control over. We must be thankful people and not people always looking at our situation and wanting more. This is the heart of an unsaved person who is always trying to gain more and want more and find satisfaction and purpose in material wealth. Humility is thankful, but pride and self-centeredness is always unsatisfied and always wants more, and this is the condition of the world. When we pray, let us ask God that we have a thankful spirit and not always ask him for stuff that our prideful eyes see because there's so many things out there that we'd like. But while we're praying, let us also pray that God would keep us ever before us, that what we were before he saved us, our former unsaved, dead spiritual lives, that we would think about this and that how God took these empty souls and he filled them so we don't become puffed up. We don't take credit for our own salvation and we don't live with this pride, but we see our unworthiness and see how gracious and the mercy God had and how he gave us Christ that we might heal us of our sinfulness and heal us of our spiritual leprosy and make us new creations in God through Christ. So in closing, as Paul instructed the believers in Philippi, I also instruct you, I instruct myself that I hope what Paul said in this passage would become the marks of our lives as we show we are believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If God has healed you from your spiritual leprosy, if he has taken you from your fallen state, and he has filled your soul with his Holy Spirit, then each and every one of us should shout every day, rejoice in the Lord always. And we should fall at the feet of Christ and worship him as Lord and God and Savior. Amen and amen. I hope this message gave you more insight. If you have any questions, you can always email me at bill@canyonbible.org. I look forward to our next message. I hope there are not too many more that I have to do on video, that we will once again be able to gather as a community of Christ and enjoy not only him, but each other. Amen.